Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. We have a great show for you today. First, the Chad Daybell trial has started. We are bringing it to you live, and we have gavel-to-gavel coverage. Next, Alec Murdoch gets sentenced in federal court. Does that mean the saga of Alec Murdoch is finally over? Ha, don't hold your breath. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment below, and make sure that you hit that little bell for notifications. All right, let's get to it. Yes, that's right. It's April 1st, and this is not a joke. The trial of Chad Daybell, who is now going to face the allegations of first-degree murder as it relates to J.J. Tiley and his former wife, Tammy. The trial has started almost 4 years later, but we are finally there. Now, the attorneys in the case in the court are qualifying the jury for a death penalty jury, which means the jurors have to be able to say, I can impose the death penalty if I believe it is warranted. And so that is taking some time. We are bringing you everything that the court is allowing us to cover. So you can go check it out on our live broadcast. Like I said, gavel to gavel coverage is going to take several days, if not at least a week, to get a jury in this particular case. It's slow going, but it is necessary to make sure both the state and the defendant, Chad Daybell, get a fair trial so that if there is a conviction and an appeal, everybody can say it was all above board and that there are no appellate issues that would result in a new trial being warranted. So we'll be bringing you the trial. Like I said, gavel to gavel coverage. Please join us next. Alec Murdoch gets sentenced in federal court. That's right. The Lowcountry disbarred attorney, who's already serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole for the killing of his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. Well, he had a date today with a federal judge in the district of Charleston in the great state of South Carolina. Now, the probation department, although nobody ever gets probation in federal court, prepares a pre-sentence investigation report. And that report recommended a sentence between 17 and a half years to 22 years in prison. But let me make something very clear. This was not a stipulation. And what the PSI or the attorneys recommend is simply that, a recommendation to the federal judge. A judge in the federal system will always tell the defendant, you understand, all those guidelines, calculations, it is simply a recommendation. One factor that the court needs to consider in coming up with the appropriate sentence, which fulfills the principles of sentencing, but is no greater than reasonably necessary to, punish and yet rehabilitate. Well, the federal judge said, guess what? 40 years ought to do it. So, on top of the 40 years, Murdoch not only has the life without parole, but he also has another 27 years in prison in state court for those financial crimes. And the federal sentence will run concurrent with his state prison term. And he will likely serve about all of those 40 years if his murder conviction are not overturned on appeal. So both the defense and the prosecution originally requested a 30-year sentence, but District Court Judge Richard Gergel, well, he had something else in mind. Judge Gergel said that he sentenced Mr. Murdoch to a harsher punishment than suggested because Murdoch stole from the most needy and the most vulnerable people, like a client who became quadriplegic after a crash, a state trooper who was injured on the job, and a trust fund meant for children whose parents were killed in a car accident. So of Murdoch's 25 victims, 11 of them are still not publicly identified, which Gergel says are some of the most vulnerable. Judge Gergel explained that his decision sends a clear message to all lawyers, not only in the state of South Carolina, but across the country, to lawyers who steal from their clients, that it will not be tolerated. The judge noted they, the clients, placed all of their problems and all of their hopes on Mr. Murdoch, and it is from those people he abused and stole. It is a difficult set of actions to understand, the judge noted. Now, Mr. Murdoch spoke like he's entitled to do, and the judge and the victims that he stole from listened to him go on for another 13 minutes, stating that he's so filled with sorrow and guilt, and he did these two things to people that he cared about. He said specifically, quote, "I want to take responsibility. I want my son to see me take responsibility," end quote. Well, Judge Gergel said, it's my hope my taking... He also noted that by telling the judge that by taking responsibility that people he's hurt can begin to heal. He also addressed his drug addiction and told the judge he didn't think that he would have committed these crimes had it not been for that opioid addiction. But the prosecutors, in response to that little statement, said no, because they believe there's still $6 million that remains unaccounted for as of today, and they have given the defendant, Mr. Murdoch, the every opportunity to come clean and say where that money might be. The federal prosecutors say that Murdoch remained adamant that all the money went to drugs, but they said it just doesn't add up, which I've been saying all along. Anyway, the judge said that Murdoch was a skilled groomer and no impaired person could have pulled off a crime of this magnitude, the judge noted. So clearly not buying Murdoch's claim of drug abuse. Now, as you recall, last week, federal prosecutors said that Mr. Murdoch wasn't truthful when FBI agents asked him where more than $6 million he stole ended up and whether another attorney possibly helped him steal the money from his clients and his past law firm. The prosecutors wanted the judge to revoke their end of the plea deal with Mr. Murdoch on theft and other charges and order him to the maximum of over 100 years. Like I said, Murdoch, he's already serving that life sentence for the death of his wife and son, pled guilty to stealing the money from clients and his law firm in state court, and then was sentenced to 27 years, which the South Carolina prosecutor said is an insurance policy to keep him behind bars if the murder conviction is overturned. Now, the investigators believe that Murdoch is trying to protect an attorney who helped him steal, and that his assertion that more than $6 million in the stolen money went to his drug habit is simply not true. So let me tell you something that happens in the federal system, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you can do a stipulation like in state court. Judge, we want you to do this sentence, and everybody agrees, and the judge will usually give it the rubber stamp of approval. Most judges say, well, the attorneys know better what the case is worth, and therefore they can have a better idea of what the appropriate sentence would be. A lot of courts, like the federal courts, don't accept stipulated sentences other than in very rare circumstances. But the court in federal court always has the say because the court has to consider obviously the nature of the crime, the victims. They have to consider the federal sentencing guidelines, but the court can always impose a maximum sentence of up to the maximum sentence. And there's no do-overs in federal court. Tell me the last time anybody's heard of a plea in federal court being withdrawn. That's right. Zip, zilch, never, nada, doesn't happen. And the judges warn everybody that regardless of what your attorneys may think the appropriate sentence may be, what the prosecutors are recommending, regardless of what the probation department prepares in that pre-sentence investigation report, it's ultimately the judge's decision. And here, Judge Gergel said, boom, 40 years. It resolves it nicely. The prosecutors get a little more time than they were asking for. The defense, although gets a little more time, not as bad as what it could have been, up to 100 years. And basically, everybody is happy. Now, somebody asked one of Murdoch's attorneys whether they're going to appeal, and of course they said, oh, we'll consider it. There's nothing illegal from what I can tell based upon what I have seen and what I have read based upon the sentencing as well as the plea agreement. I think there is no basis for it. And guess what? Federal case is done. Now, does that mean we're finally done with Alec Murdoch? Well, he's up on appeal on his state murder case. And obviously, if that were to get reversed, which I think there's a possibility, There's a possibility. I think the judge let in too much of the 404B evidence in that particular case, all the financial crimes and what have you. But there you go. We'll see. I think it'll be the SOB rule, and the courts will say, although it was unfair and probably prejudiced the trial in light of the overwhelming evidence, so be it. Now, obviously, the defense attorneys for Mr. Murdoch say this wasn't an overwhelming case of guilt as it related to Mr. Murdoch and the murder case, and that the financial crimes unduly prejudiced the trial against Mr. Murdoch. That will be the issue in the state court. But for now, the financial crimes in state court are done and in federal court. And then finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. That's right. A Google Street View driver led police on a 120-mile-per-hour chase before crashing his car into the Indiana Creek. And, well, guess what? He has pled guilty to a felony charge for trying to flee from law enforcement, according to the court records. Now, during a hearing last week, Mr. Coleman Ferguson pled guilty to reckless operation of the camera-equipped vehicle last year. And as part of the March 25th plea agreement, Ferguson agreed to a one-year suspended jail sentence, and he has to pay restitution in the amount of $3,220.97, and he will obviously have to pay his court costs and public defender fee. Now, as part of the plea deal, the conviction of Mr. Ferguson will be entered as a Class 1 misdemeanor. This guy's got a great deal. Anyway, Ferguson was out mapping areas outside Indianapolis last July when a police officer spotted the Google vehicle around 5 p.m. hitting speeds about 120 miles an hour. It had California plates, so the cops thought it was stolen. Oh, and by the way, did I mention it happened to have several 360-degree cameras mounted on a tall antenna on the car? The car was driven by Ferguson and was also wrapped with Google Street View logos and the photos of Sydney, Australia's harbor. It also carried a recommendation to explore the world at google.com Street View. Now, with a police officer in pursuit, Ferguson refused to stop Google's car. And after passing from one county to another, Mr. Ferguson lost control of the vehicle, drove through a guardrail, and went airborne before landing in the creek. Now, during the chase, police noted that the motorist traveling the opposite direction had to swerve to avoid colliding with the Google vehicle. Now, Mr. Ferguson stated that he, in fact, worked for Google and had no reason to run other than, well, just being scared. He was arrested on the felony charge of resisting police with a vehicle and booked into the Henry County Jail, where he spent 2 weeks before he was ultimately able to post a $10,000 bond. Now, Mr. Ferguson, who, like I said, worked as a Google contractor, it's unclear how he came to get this position, because he did have a driving history that included two convictions for driving with a suspended license and a third conviction with driving with expired plates. And he apparently also worked for the University of Indiana in their facilities department. But either way, he avoids the felony plea. But Mr. Ferguson, really? You're going to run away in a Google car that has more GPS on it than you can possibly imagine, and it's all being videotaped while you do this. Mr. Ferguson, you're lucky you didn't kill yourself or somebody else, but you are Crime Talk's dumb criminal of the day. Congratulations, you made it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Please join us for the Chad Daybell trial. We'll be bringing it to you every day, gavel to gavel coverage, and yours truly will be providing commentary in between the jurors on jury selection, and we'll try to do the same when it comes to the trial testimony as well. Thanks for watching. We'll see you.